everyone. Welcome back to the Manic Matter Podcast. This is Mitchie. So for today's episode, we're going to dive right in and talk about the case of Lacey Fletcher. Now, in early January of 2022, Lacey Fletcher was living with her parents, Sheila and Clay, in Slaughter, Louisiana. At this time, Lacey was about 36 years old, and the police had received a call from her mother that Lacey had stopped breathing, and on the phone, Sheila gave this excuse that Lacey had been sick for a while, but it was a very long story, and that's all that she would say. When the police arrived, they arrived to see Clay performing chest compressions on Lacey. Now, her back was against the couch, and she was laying sideways, and according to police reports, she was only in a t-shirt, and it looked like she had been sitting in a pool of her own urine and feces. Now, also, they had noted that Lacey appeared to be in this position for quite some time, as there was a hole or a divot that had formed in the area that she was sitting in, and despite all their efforts, she would be pronounced dead at 36 years old, and at the time, she was only weighing about 96 pounds. So backtracking, talking about Lacey's life before this incident, she was spoken highly of as being a very fun, normal child, and was attending Brownsville Baptist Academy and played on the volleyball team there before her freshman year in high school. Now, her freshman year in high school, she was pulled, and it was stated that she was homeschooled after that. She was also seeing a psychologist for severe social anxiety around the age of 14. Lacey's mother had taken her to see a psychologist by the name of Donald Hope. Now, according to Sheila, she said another psychologist had informed her that Lacey's IQ was below average and that she was autistic, on top of the social anxiety. Now, Dr. Hope would see Lacey for only about 12 sessions between the years of 2000 and 2002. Now, in 2010, Hope would say that the Fletchers told him that Lacey was now refusing to leave her home and was pretty much only staying in the living room in their house at this time. It got to the point where neighbors had disclosed that Lacey had not made any public appearance since she was pulled for homeschooling in those last 15 years. A lot of them, you know, over time had assumed that she was, you know, going on with her life. She moved away, went to college, probably got married or something, just typical things. They weren't necessarily keeping up with these people. Now, one neighbor said that they recalled asking Clay about Lacey's whereabouts since it had been so long since anyone had seen her, and Clay replied that she was fine and still at home before abruptly changing the subject and wouldn't go into any kind of major detail about her. Now, after the phone call had been made for 911 regarding Lacey not breathing, documents were revealing that there was bone that was visible on her, showing that her body had decayed due to several severe sores as well as wounds. And further on, they went on to show that her body was infested with maggots in multiple areas, and these areas included her genitals. And people had come to the realization that these maggots and these open sores and these wounds were more than likely happening while she was still alive. There was a forensic pathologist named Dana Troxclair who performed an autopsy on Lacey and cited that her body had pressure ulcers and she suffered from infections within her bones, with these maggots being embedded into this exposed bone. And through this autopsy, they also discovered within these sores that there were fibers that matched the fibers on the couch that she was sitting in. So she was essentially fused into the couch that she was sitting on. With all of this, it was found that there wasn't any evidence of any kind of like massive decomposition at the time of the autopsy. So it wasn't that these maggots, like I said, had formed after the fact. Lacey had been alive and they were forming on her due to the state that she was sitting in. Dr. Ewell Bickham worked on this case, recalled saying that when he had walked in, the house smelled like a sewer or a septic tank, and he could also smell death. He said it was a smell that he had never before smelled in his life. And I cannot imagine how awful that is, because if you have smelled like a septic tank that is leaking or that needs to be, you know, pumped out, that is awful in and of itself. So when you top that and say that you can smell death, it had to be absolutely grotesque. Her body was found in an extremely dirty situation. They said that her hair was matted, like, against her head. There was maggots as well as feces embedded in her hair too, and they had found insect bites that were on her face, arms, and ear, and they concluded that more than likely this had occurred as well while she was still alive. Looking into her body, her fingernails and toenails, they were unkempt, they were long, and there was feces underneath those as well, both finger and toenails. When they ruled her cause of death, it was ruled as sepsis due to a chain of reaction of her condition. The results were that of poor hygiene, prolonged immobility, and malnutrition as a result of severe chronic neglect of a special needs individual. It was also noted that pieces of the sofa, like the stuffing, as well as her own feces would be found in her stomach when they were looking at her stomach contents. Now, the Fletchers' attorney, Clay and Sheila, made the claim that they never intentionally meant to harm Lacey, and that they loved their daughter to what he said was a fault, because her parents looked into this excuse saying that she didn't want to do it, she didn't want to do anything, didn't want to get up from the couch, so they couldn't make her. They looked into this excuse of what happened to her. The attorneys and parents cited that Lacey had autism, and they said anyone with a handicapped child can tell that these things can happen. As a parent with a special needs child myself, I do want to put in here that even though it can be rough on days, it is never as rough as this. It's just basic hygiene needs that you have to take care of for these children and young adults if they are that incapable. Now, despite Lacey quite literally being melted into the couch into her home, the attorney would go on to say that the parents cared for her on a daily, with Sheila coming home from work on lunch every day to take care of her and eat lunch with Lacey, citing that Lacey would sleep on that couch and her mother would sleep on the couch with her every night, and it doesn't make sense because her stomach contents showed pieces of sofa material as well as feces, and if the house smelled as bad as it did, I don't understand how somebody could be living in those conditions. The viewpoint that the parents were essentially trying to paint here is that they were so remorseful about what had happened, and that they were quote-unquote blinded by her handicap and did as best as they could to appease it. Now, the Fletchers claim that Lacey just refused to leave the couch or eat when they tried to feed her, which contradicts what the mother said that she would come home at lunch every day to eat with her. It doesn't add up considering before she was 14, she was very active. When she went to school, she was on volleyball. Neighbors and old friends said that she was a fun, active child. So this led to the parents being arrested. Now Clay and Sheila, despite being arrested, they were released on a $300,000 bond each, both claiming not guilty in July of 2022. Now, a grand jury believed otherwise and indicted both Lacey's parents on second-degree murder in May. Now, they initially were appearing to stand trial in June of 2023, but there was a district judge, Catherine Jones, who dropped the charges after a hearing on May 30th. She cited here that there was a technicality with the wording in the indictment from the jury, and that's why it was dropped. However, the parents were still set to face a second jury trial June 19th, 2023. But as of February 12th of this year, the parents are still pleading a no contest to manslaughter over the death of their daughter. And that is all the information that we have with this case right now. It's still ongoing and pending as far as I can see. So if there is anything that I have missed out, If there's anything that you would like to add on, please feel free to let me know. You can comment on YouTube. You can email me at manicmanorpodcast@gmail.com or reach out on Facebook or Instagram as well with the same handle, manicmanorpodcast. So thank you guys for listening in to today's episode, despite it being very short. I hope that this can boost Lacey's case so she can get the justice that she rightfully deserves. So I hope you all have a wonderful week and stay safe out there, and I will see you in the next episode.